to 24. The words are on the screen. 1 Colossians 3, 15 to 24. And it says this, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I wonder if I came and sat next to you this morning in church and asked you, "What have you done for God this week?" I wonder what your response would be. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that, but I wonder what your response would be. Well, the passage that we've just read suggests that there is only one answer to that question. What have you done for God this week? Everything. Whatever you do, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. I know that some of you enjoy watching Match of the Day. Those of you who do, you may have seen it. Those of you who don't may have seen it. They sometimes have something called a heat map. And what a heat map is they track a player for the whole of the match to find out where they've been playing on the pitch. What areas have they been performing well in? And then they are able to display this on a picture. And you can follow what player was where. And it shows where every minute of the match, where they've spent it on the pitch. Well, last week, as most weeks are, last week was 168 hours. And if you were to make a heat map of your week, what would it look like? How many hours at work? How many hours caring for others? How many hours asleep? A few hours of sleep. We like to sleep. Is good. Sleep is a good thing to do. How many hours eating? How many hours consuming media in one form or another, whether it be films or television programs or Facebook or social media, whatever it might be? How many hours doing that? How many hours praying? How many hours serving others? What would your heat map look like for this past week? And then think again about that verse. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. How does it match up? Whatever you do. Not 50% of what you do. Not even 99% of what you do, but whatever, 100%, do it all in the name of Jesus. Because you see, what we do is important to God. Think about the story of creation in the Bible. Our God is a God who does things. Our God is a God who makes, who creates. A God who provides, a God who cares, a God who rests. These are all in the nature and the character of God. And of course we know, we read in the Bible that we are made in God's image. So it's understandable that we too should be people who do, who create, who play, who rest, who care. That's the image of God in us. Things we do are significant. They mean something. And of course, again, in that picture that we have in the creation through Genesis, we're told that Adam and Eve had a wonderful home in a garden. Everything that they needed to live a fruitful and purposeful life was there. Everything. Now, I've got to confess, I'm not a great gardener. And I think all of those gadgets that make gardening easier, fantastic. Some of you I know like to go and visit the garden centres. And when you go and wander around, look at the plants and the exotic plants that are there and the trees and the shrubs and think about how you're going to plant them and put them in your garden. And that's fantastic. I've got to confess, I wander around looking at the gadgets. Anything that will make life a bit easier. I saw something recently, a robot lawnmower that you just put it in the middle of the grass and it cuts the grass for you. It's powered by solar energy, not so much good to go on a day like today, but powered by solar power, cuts the grass, you just leave it to get on with it and you don't have to bother about anything. Fantastic. I'm not sure what our dog would make of it though, this robot sort of wandering around the grass, but the gardens need looking after, don't they? And yes, and some of you are nodding your heads. Some of them need a lot of looking after. And, you know, even the perfect, fruitful, safe Garden of Eden needed looking after. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says this. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it." Work, doing things, was part of God's perfect creation. To be fruitful, to have a purpose. And, of course, we know, don't we, how that story goes on to tell us how that perfect creation was marred because of our disobedience. And instead of work being easy and a joy, suddenly it becomes hard and a toil. Genesis 3:19 says, "By the seat of your brow you will eat, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food." Work becomes hard and difficult and a labor. And we have to acknowledge that, yes, sometimes work can be difficult, can't it? It can be tough. We can find ourselves doing things that we don't want to do, but that we have to do them to make a living, to provide for our families. We can find ourselves doing jobs that no one else wants to do. But of course, we also need to remember that God did not give up on his fallen creation. Jesus came to reconcile all things to himself. Jesus came to renew. Jesus came to restore. Right at the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 says this, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making all things new.'" Everything. "A new heaven, a new earth, Eden restored." And so, that has an implication for us. Because if Jesus came to restore all things, and if today you are seeking to live as a follower of Jesus, then that puts a responsibility on us to be making the world as Jesus would want it to be. So our work matters. How we spend our time matters. How we use our resources matters. Paul's letter that we've referred to here, this letter to the Colossians, is about helping these people to understand the community that God's called them to be. To be a community that were not inward focused, but instead everything about them to be marked by love and kindness and compassion. In their places of work or wherever they found themselves, in their relationships. Most of the people hearing this letter would have been servants, slaves of some kind, household servants. They were the people who kept the economy of the Roman Empire going. But they had very little control over their lives. People made decisions on their behalf. And so it would be very tempting for them to think that their daily lives, their work, their routines, it would be very easy to think that those things meant nothing, that they had no value. But Paul writes to them to encourage them, to offer them a new way of seeing things, to see that everything matters. Everything matters to God. Every part of our lives, everything that we do. I was looking for an illustration to help demonstrate this. And then I was inspired yesterday at our leadership team day that we had at Blackley. I was inspired at lunchtime when I saw Jeff Thompson, eating a Satsuma. Because Jeff likes a Satsuma. It's part of his regular routine. And Jeff takes a Satsuma. And when Jeff takes a Satsuma, he very carefully peels it. And then he takes it and then he divides it up into the segments and places them around his plate. I don't know how you eat Satsumas. Maybe you break it in half and eat half. Maybe you eat it whole in one go. But when Jeff eats a Satsuma, he carefully takes all the plates and places them around his plate and then eats them. I wonder sometimes if we do that with our lives. We separate all the segments of our lives. So we have work. We have our hobbies. We have our money. We have our family. We have our holidays, and the list could go on, couldn't it? All these different segments in our lives that we sort of keep separate from each other. And of course, then we just add another segment on God. And we fit God in as another segment. But of course, the danger is then that all of these other segments sort of take priority and God is squeezed out and left off. Maybe there's another way we can think about our lives. And instead of taking all those segments separately, but to hold them together. And God is the peel, if you like. God is the outside that holds everything. So everything, every aspect, every part of our lives is held and brings honor and glory to God. Not bits separated out, not bits squeezed in here and there, but our whole lives, an offering to God. Everything that we do, every place we go, everything we say, every resource that we have, we seek to use it to bring honor and glory to God. Whatever you do, all of it, whatever we do, giving honor to God. Doing it all in the name of Jesus is what the verse went on to say. And when we do something in the name of Jesus, then it's what it's saying is that we're acting as Jesus' representatives. We are Christ's ambassadors in the world. So you can parent children as an ambassador for Christ. You can be Christ's ambassador in your club that you're part of. You can be Christ's ambassador when you're seeing a patient. You can be Christ's ambassador when you're counseling a client. You can be Christ's ambassador when you're plumbing a sink. You can be Christ's ambassador when you're teaching a class, when you're caring for somebody, when you're in touch with somebody, when you're offering support. We're called to be those ambassadors of Jesus. It's all about realizing who we're working for. Those servants, those slaves that Paul wrote to, Paul encouraged them to see that they weren't working for their masters, but they were working for their Lord. And everything was done in his name. Even the most difficult jobs, even the most challenging of jobs or activities, we're called to do it for Christ. The danger is that we can start to think of God as being our boss, a kind of boss who wants to squeeze every ounce out of us, the kind of boss that wants to have us to stop all joy, this kind of boss who wants to punish us when we get it wrong. But no, that's not the picture of God that we have, is it? Our relationship with God is that he is our Father who loves us. Our Father who wants the best for us. And as a child of God, whatever you do, you can say, I'm working in the family business. I'm working in the family business. You know, I worked for a family business once. One of the first jobs I did when I left school was working in a bakery that was family owned. And it was really old fashioned. It's long gone out of business now. Really old fashioned in the way that they worked. And that the family who owned the company, they worked in the company, but you didn't call them by their surname. You had to use their first name. So you used to have to say, good morning, Mr. Jonathan. And they liked us to do this. Good morning, Mr. Jonathan, or good morning, Miss Lucy. Or could you take this to Mr. Jeremy, please? And that was the way that the company worked, very old-fashioned. It was something strange, because they were all part of the same family. They all shared similar characteristics. They all had the same shaped nose. So you knew who the family owners were because they all had the same shaped nose. And not only that, they all sneezed the same way. So whenever one of them sneezed, you knew exactly that it was one of the bosses who was coming down the corridor. Very strange. So they all shared the same characteristics. But what about our family business? We're in the family. What the family that we're called to? What are the characteristics? What should mark our work and what we do? What should be the picture of who we are as God's people? Well, a good place to go to is always that list from Galatians, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Imagine if we took those characteristics into our places of work, into the clubs that we're part of, amongst our friends, amongst our family. Imagine if that's what we lived out, our family characteristic, as we sought to live our lives to the glory of God. How might you be like Jesus in your place of work? How might you be like Jesus amongst your friends and family? How might God want to work in you and through you to make a difference? And whether that's a paid place of employment or somewhere where you offer support or volunteer, whatever it might be, how might God want to work in you and through you? Let me share you a story of Keith. It's a story of Keith. And it says, Keith is a decorator. He's been self-employed for 25 years, changing rooms and changing houses. For the first 10 years of his life, he certainly tried to do a good job, but he wouldn't say that he involved God in all his work. He worked to earn money. And then he was in a car crash. The car flipped over. For Keith, it was a prod from God. And from then on, as far as his work was concerned, he had two aims: to earn money and to give money to God. And that was it for 12 or 13 years. Then, one day, after a talk in church, a light bulb went on in his head. And Keith realized that when he's decorating, he's helping other people in their lives. He's helping a woman look after her sick husband because she can't do the decorating and care for him. He's helping an older man who can't do the DIY anymore. He's helping a family with a disabled child to make a home that really works for them. He's serving God by serving people. He's not really doing anything different in his actual work, but his mindset has totally changed. It says, as he told me, I'm not doing it for the money anymore. I'm not even doing it to give money to the church. He says, I'm doing it for God. That's my service. And it has totally transformed my life. Whatever we do, we're called to do it for God. As if Jesus himself was doing that job that you or I doing, that we might bring honor and glory to him. Your work, your words, your actions, they matter.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
Yeah, good. May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.